Good morning, you guys. Welcome to the Cone Phone. It's Saturday morning, I think. Tomorrow is Easter, I'm pretty sure. And the 49ers still exist. They're going to be making some draft picks soon. They've made some signings. My question to you is, are the Niners better than last year? I know they still have to go through the draft, but really the Niners don't often get instant contributors in the draft. They like to sort of fill their needs in free agency. And I think with the signing of Brock Wright, assuming he's going to be the Niners' next number two tight end, it seems like they've pretty much addressed all of their immediate needs. And in the draft, maybe they can get a returner, maybe a DB who can play right away, but there's not a lot of open spots on this team. So this is it. Assuming Brandon Ayuk comes back, is the team better? Let's go through it. I'd really like to hear your opinion. If you want to call in, the link is in the description. The link is in the chat box. I'm going to go through it quickly. Well, not so quickly. On offense, they only added three. Brandon Parker, right tackle, Josh Dobbs, quarterback, and Brock Wright, assuming the Lions don't match the offer sheet. Doesn't look like they will. Is the offense better? Brandon Parker instead of Matt Pryor is the backup right tackle. Is that better? Yeah, maybe it's a little bit better, although Brandon Parker really hasn't played the last couple of years. Josh Dobbs, is he better than Sam Darnold? I think so. I actually do think so. I like that addition. I don't know that the Niners think so. Like, when John Lynch spoke about it, he was like, well, he'll compete with Brandon Allen. We'll see. I think he's better than Brandon Allen. And then Brock Wright seems better than Charlie Warner. So did the Niners upgrade on offense? I mean, they got three backups who are better than the backups they had last year. So that is an upgrade, slightly. On defense, they cut Eric Armstead, who still is good when he's healthy, but the thing is, he hasn't been healthy in 2 years, and he has plantar fasciitis, and he's probably never going to be healthy again. So instead of him, they got Malik Collins, who is just as productive as a pass rusher and plays more. Is that an upgrade? Probably. I mean, if Armstead didn't have plantar fasciitis, then no. But Armstead plus that injury, which is chronic, I think I'd rather have a defensive tackle who didn't have a chronic foot injury. That's just me, though. Then Jordan Elliott, is he better than Javon Kinlaw? I mean, maybe that one's a wash. I haven't seen Jordan Elliott play that much. I've seen Kinlaw play a lot. I think that one's about a wash. Leonard Floyd, is he an upgrade over Chase Young? I have to say so. A significant one. And not just as a pass rusher, but you can also drop him into coverage and sort of allows the Niners to do those simulated pressures that are all the rage on defense now, where you don't really know where the four-man rush is coming from. Is he dropping? Is he rushing? I like Leonard Floyd. Chase Young can't do that stuff. Devondre Campbell, is he an upgrade over Oren Burks? Yeah, I think he probably is. Oren Burks was a special teamer, in my opinion, a number four linebacker. The issue is Dre Greenlaw coming back? Without him, they're not better. But what were they going to do? He'll come back eventually. So then they added Isaac Yadam to their defensive backfield. He had one good year. He doesn't make it worse. So I think you could actually argue that the Niners are a little bit better on paper than they were last year. Now, if Eric Armstead plays 17 games and has 10 sacks, then no. But I don't see that happening. I feel like Eric Armstead is going to really disappoint the Jaguars and Trent Baalke. I'm not sure what they're expecting. Probably a lot. They might be a little bit better on paper than they were last year. They're awfully similar. It's hard to see where they definitely downgraded. I didn't even mention Yetur Gross-Matos. Is he better than Randy Gregory or Cleveland Farrell? Is he better than Cleveland Farrell? How about that? I think he could be better than Cleveland Farrell in the sense that Farrell was good against the run, but didn't do anything as a pass rusher, and he couldn't move to the inside like Gross-Matos can, or Charles Omenihu could, or Arden Key could. So I think that's an upgrade. And that's about it. Ezekiel Turner and Chase Lucas, they're special teams guys. I don't have an opinion. But T-Bizzle for Shizzle does. T-Bizzle.
What's up, Grant?
So T-Bizzle, how you doing?
Good, man. Before the season started, I told you a couple of things. I said, number one, I was concerned about Steve Wilks. Number two, I didn't think Trent Williams was as important to the offensive line as a lot of other people thought. And number three, I thought that there was a potential for Brock Purdy to be very good. And I made a comparison between him and Drew Brees. And you thought that was hilarious. But well, then several people in the national media, several people in the national media made the same comparison throughout the year to Drew Brees.
Yeah.
But I was wrong about Trent Williams because what I didn't realize was how important he is to running to the left side. Yeah. And that was obvious this year.
You take him out, where are they running?
Right. Yeah. But I was also right about Wilkes. Yeah. We're not right.
Yeah.
Well, you can't run to the right either way without him, with or without him. But I was right about Steve Wilks, and that's why the turnover on the roster, we might be a little bit more dependable. We might be a wash. We might have a little bit less of a high ceiling with the turnover roster. But getting rid of Steve Wilks, because in my opinion, he was a disaster. And I think we should be better just because we have a better defensive scheme going forward, I think.
Why do you think he was such a disaster?
I talked to you about this after the Packers game in the playoffs. I asked you what you thought he was doing, and the way the cornerbacks were lining so far off the ball didn't seem to be the way you would run that defense, especially with our defensive line. And we should have good pass rush. I think what you prefer to do would be more of a press. Now, I'm not an X's and O's guy. I don't know a ton. I'm more of just a guy that likes to play and likes to watch. But just with the results we saw, that defense got torched quite a bit. I know at the end of the year, the points per game still was pretty good. But just all year long, you kind of felt like, man, this defense is underperforming. And maybe also he's just not as charismatic of a guy either. You know, it's probably hard to get super pumped up and go play really hard for a guy who's kind of slow talking, soft, you know.
Yeah, effort was an issue, but then also like the pass rush was an issue, and they have too much invested in that D-line for the pass rush to be an issue. It seemed like his pressure schemes weren't anything special. I can't remember any blitz that he ever drew up or called where you thought, wow, that was amazing. And then the coverages, it seemed like they were pretty clear. Good quarterbacks knew exactly what they were seeing against the Niners defense. Burrow, Cousins, didn't really look like he was disguising his coverages at all, which is something D'Amico and Saleh did do. So I don't know. I don't understand why they hired Steve Wilks in the first place. It seemed like there were a lot of issues. He did, you know, decently with a lot of good players, but why did they think that was a good idea? Okay, sure, whatever. That's old history. He's gone. Now you got Brandon Staley, who seems to be able to, like, he's smart, right? I don't know if he can lead players, but he seems like he could probably scheme up a lot of the stuff that's trendy on defense these days. And then you got Nick Sorensen, a guy who the players like. So maybe that's a better setup.
I think we can only go up. I think as far as what you could get out of that defense with that roster is like, Wilks was pretty bottom of the barrel. It was like Richard Sherman said something about, like, you know, it's a Ferrari. It doesn't matter who you put behind the seat of the wheel. It's still going to run well, referring to our defense. And it was like, well, instead, they weren't driving that Ferrari very well. So I got to think that the defense is going to perform better this year.
I would think so. I mean, Bosa wasn't great last year. Hargrave wasn't great last year. The secondary was pretty good. I mean, the two corners played really well, but I don't know. Without Greenlaw, though, that's an issue for me. I still feel like they need to address the linebacker spot, and that Campbell isn't necessarily the answer.
Well, when we're talking about the defense, I was kind of assuming like when Greenlaw's back, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for calling in, T-Bizzle.
Yes, sir. All
right. Have a good one. Again, if you guys want to call in, links in the description. There's no one waiting right now. You guys could be the next one. What are you doing? Are you at it? Brunch? I'll just go through the chat for a little while. Mark Mick says you can't lose in the Super Bowl and expect the team to be better. they might know the rule this year at least. Yeah, they seem like they're probably more prepared in terms of rule knowledge. Travis says the Niners are not going to win the Super Bowl until they actually invest in the O-line, get better depth at corner, and get a real difference maker at quarterback. Oh, shots fired at Brock Purdy at 10:20 a.m. on the West Coast. What did Purdy do? Shannon Dale says, hi, George. No, we are not. Can McCaffrey run to the right, or are we going to just do the same old left running game? Defenses will be more ready for this. Unreal. Well, they got Brock right. They have a better backup tight end. Their offense is going to be way different. Don't you understand? This guy says, won't really know if the Niners are better until the season starts. Shrug. Thanks a lot, this guy. Emilio O says, Niners just lost Steve Young to the Vikings. How can any team be better after such travesty? Who we got? Bob got to call in. Been a minute. Yeah, brother Bob, you got to call in. Someone needs to call in. Link O says, Niners won't win a ring until Captain can't call a ball game, gives up the offensive. What? I don't think we are better, Grant. As a matter of fact, I think we took a step back. Really? Because of Armstead? Is that what it comes down to? Steve O says, plugged holes and Kyle is still head coach. So no. Next call. Okay. Is Ray Ray still on the team? No. What do you think they will do for the offensive line all draft? I don't know. They signed Brandon Parker, which kind of makes me scared that the Niners aren't going to draft an offensive tackle yet again. That guy was the 65th pick in the draft, and he's kind of exactly what they're looking for in a right tackle. Tall, light. Why do the Niners always want an offensive tackle who's a glorified tight end? 6'8", 295 pounds. If you are 312 pounds, they're like, that is way too hefty for our right tackle. I don't understand what that's about. Am I wrong? They always want the skinniest dude, the tallest, lankiest dude at right tackle, and the guy can never hold up to a bull rush. Brett Osborne, who's afraid to call in, says no updates. No upgrades were made at any position that is going to have an impact. What we did get was cheaper without suffering a significant drop-off. That's true. That is true. Niner gang. What's up, man?
What's up, Grant? How are we doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Man, it's Saturday down here in Fresno. We got some sun today instead of that rain. Looks like
it's nice. Gonna... Finally.
Man. Nah, man, but these Niners, man, I don't think they got any better, man. Reason being is we're going to go in with the same exact offense we finished the Super Bowl with.
Yep.
Meaning same offense we had all season. Meaning every defense out there has a full season of tape on our complete offensive line. Kyle's scheme, which we all know he tweaks it a tiny bit, not much. And to, you know, the last caller's point or all the chats, if they don't work on that line, it's going to be the same thing. They know defense has tape to study how to attack that offensive line, which is everybody knows it's no secret through the right side, but now it's just strictly focus. That's it. All you do is take Trent Williams out of the game on the line and it's over. Force Brock to run a certain way. You know, he's going to scramble out of the pocket and call it what it is. And he's going to go down, man. He's going to not like get hurt, but he's going to get sacked, you know,
but they've overhauled their defense. They got rid of Steve Wilkes. They brought in Brandon Staley. They got rid of Eric Armstead. They brought in Malik Collins and Leonard Floyd. Like, that defense is going to carry them to the championship, right?
And that's fine. It may very well get them there. To their point, I get the sarcasm with it. It may very well get them there, but we all know defenses do not win Super Bowls. We've seen that. They don't call holding on either team.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't understand the point there. Get a mediocre defense, one that could, you know, hold it down to 25 points or so, but you got to get an offense that can match, you know. And I was over there listening to Coach and Krug a minute before I dropped in on yours. And so they said, you're not going to beat Patrick Mahomes with Brock Purdy. No shame on Brock. Brock's good, but he's not Patrick. So how are you going to beat the Chiefs? You're going to have to run the damn ball down their throat, and you're not going to do it with Christian McCaffrey solo. You have a stable of running backs, Jordan Mason, Elijah Mitchell, which half the time I don't even know if they're on the team, you know, and we continue to go with CMC. He's great, but at some point, you know, when a team is strictly planning to stop one man, get the man out of there, put the man somewhere else, adjust your game. But Kyle doesn't do that. And once again, Kyle not adjusting will be the reason the Niners don't succeed again.
I kind of got to disagree a little bit about the run game. It's like, if you're going to spend $60 million on wide receivers, at a certain point, you got to pass the ball. I mean, you like Brandon Ayuk, you like Deebo Samuel, you like Brock Purdy. I know he's not Patrick Mahomes, but he was just an MVP candidate. I don't know that you're necessarily going to beat the Chiefs just feeding Christian McCaffrey. I mean, Dave Merritt said it, like, he needs help. He needs help. And you have all these weapons that you're paying all this money for. And it just seems like if you would get a couple more offensive linemen, you could tie it all together and truly have an all-time great offense without necessarily the best quarterback in the league. But they don't have that. And they're still trying to win with their defensive line, their defense, which is just surprising, but not surprising at the same time.
No, it is. And I think Christian's good. And my point is saying they're going to, only way they're going to be able to beat the Chiefs, you know, is going to need a run game, is because
you got to be balanced for sure.
We don't have the line, to your point, to hold up against a overwhelmingly good defensive line to give them enough time to allow these weapons to open up. That's why with the whole BA thing or re-signing him, I don't think it's worth it for the Niners to re-sign him. Why? Because they don't go to him enough.
Right.
They don't utilize him enough. He's fourth, fifth on the depth chart. I mean, damn, there's games when Juwan Jennings gets as much targets as him.
They throw the ball less than every other team in the league. Like the Chargers with Jim Harbaugh are going to be similar. They're not going to throw the ball that much. So the first thing he did this offseason was get rid of both of his wide receivers. Like, you guys are good players. We're not paying for that. We're not going to utilize you to your full extent. So what are we going to do? Cut you. Trade you.
Kyle's problem is, though, like Deebo, he that's his buddy. That's why he's getting what he's getting, you know? And
yeah,
he got 11, 12 targets in the Super Bowl and just looked horrible in it. You know, whether he was hurt or not, whatever, that's still on the coach, because if he's hurt, you need to understand that and go somewhere else with the ball. Stop trying to feed the guy that can't catch the damn ball, number one. Can't run a route if his life's dependent on it. You know, use Deebo, use him for what you paid him for. Line him up in the damn backfield. Make the defense decide if it's going to Christian or Deebo, because you're not going to use Mason like that. So you might as well use Deebo like that, right? Put Juwan Jennings back out there on the field. Put Kyle Hughes-Check on the sideline. And let this thing rip. But they won't. Because why? Kyle is buddies with Hughes-Check. He's buddies with Deebo. He's buddies with Kittle. So he's just going to continue to keep this same insanity going on, is what I call it. Because when you keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, that's a definition of insanity, in my opinion. And that's what we're going through right now with Kyle Shanahan.
Yep. Agree, man. Thanks for calling in. Good stuff. Grant, appreciate you.
Day, buddy.
All right. Have a good one. Brother Bob is indeed next. Charlie Price says, will special teams guy become more important due to kickoff changes? Yeah, I would agree. I think he is. Richard Gonzalez says, I think everything is a wash and we're pretty much the same team that we were last year. Stigon says, look at how fast our offensive line collapsed the pocket during the playoffs. JM617 says, Wilkes got bailed out by talent a lot. Emiliano says, Wilkes and defense held Mahomes to under 20 points in Super Bowl without Greenlaw. His Niners defense was third in the NFL in scoring defense. So how is that a disaster? I would have to agree with that. Could have been worse. Glad Armstead's gone. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. The offense underperformed. JM617 says, Wilkes Super Bowl losing effort doesn't forgive the rest of the year, just like Chase Young. Okay. All right. Let's see what Brother Bob has to say.
What's going on, Grant?
How you doing, man? Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. That's a good time. But yeah. By the way, it's Iglet. I love that name, Iglet.
Yeah, it's true. You can call me Iglet, I suppose.
I appreciate it, sir. So let's talk about, you open up with a lot of questions. Are we better at different positions? And I've been thinking about that since we lost and free agency started. And I'm going to say, I don't have as much energy as I normally do. Got this little cold again.
Okay.
But I don't see us being better. In fact, I see us probably being the same. But as you know, they say, either you're getting better or you're getting worse.
Right. You can't say the same.
Can't say the same. Exactly. Mm. So are we going to, and I hate to be negative like this.
Yeah.
But I have to be honest with myself, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, looking at that Montana jersey back there, and during his time, Walsh was always trying to get better, right?
Yeah.
I don't see that with this team. So let's look at the recent signing. All right. Let's start with offense. All right. My guy from Notre Dame, my alma mater. Okay, Brock Wright. But is he really better than Warner? Doesn't really matter.
Or is he just a replacement?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I think are you trying to get better? Or are you trying to stay the same? Are you trying to stay the same? They've been kind of trying to stay the same since 2019, haven't they?
That's my point. Exactly right. My point. Yeah. Because he's not going to use Brock Wright as some type of second pass catcher. He's going to replace Warner and just be a blocking tight end. That's it.
Yeah.
And if you really think about
four targets a season. Yeah. Yes. Put him on special teams.
That's what Warner had.
Yeah. It's true.
He was 3 for 3 though. 3 targets, 3 receptions. Warner actually had a better, slightly better average per catch than Brock Wright.
You're right. It was 3 targets. I overshot that one. It was 2 the season before.
It's all good. So my point is, he's just replacing him, and he's going to run the same offense over and over again. Which, hey, it got us to the Super Bowl, but the problem is, it didn't win us the Super Bowl. And that's what I'm concerned about. That's what I'm concerned about. Now, other people are going to talk about, let's talk about BA. You got to keep BA. You just have to. Yeah. And I don't care about this whole, well, you're going to have a receiver room that's 50 plus million. No, you really won't. AVV, they will be, all
right? Right. But an actual cap, you can stagger that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, you're not spending anything on quarterback, so it evens out.
Exactly. Right? But if you don't have BA, what are you going to do on offense? Because he had the most receptions out of all the receivers.
Right.
So you need him.
Who's going to fill up? Who's going to fill that slack? Debo? Kittle?
Right.
A rookie? Probably not.
No.
Right. And also, it's so clear what they want to do is stay the same on offense. So they're not going to trade Brandon Ayuk because that would involve changing.
Right.
Which they don't want to do. They did that on defense because it was all the defense's fault.
And that's what I'm getting to next. I don't think the defense has gotten better, but here's the thing. You can't blame Wilkes anymore, but was it the defense that really lost us that game in the Super Bowl? And I don't want to focus on one game.
I mean, special teams had a big hand in it. Offense had a big hand in it. It seems like of all the phases, defense actually did the best in that one game.
I would have to agree.
Right.
So, but you know what Kyle is going to do. He's not going to focus on his side of the ball. He's going to focus and shift blame and point the fingers at the other side.
Right.
So, but have we gotten better on defense? I don't know. It's tough. I think it's about literally the same. I forgot the one guy replacing Kinlaw.
I like the Leonard Floyd addition, but still, he's like 32. So we'll see. But I do like that addition. And frankly, I'm not mad at him for moving on from Armstead. I know Armstead got mad, but it's like your injury is really serious, man. It's not going away. But do they get better? Yeah. Like, how good is Malik Collins really? I don't know.
And there you go. Yeah. So the interior of our D-line, I think, has been the biggest problem. Yes, we need someone opposite Bosa, but we saw what happened. Teams started to run on us and run on us at will.
Yeah.
And that's what my concern is, have we gotten better in the middle? So you got Hargrave, but he was average, I guess.
Yeah,
but
against the run. Collins seems to me like kind of built the same. I'm sort of expecting a similar player to Hargrave.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Then look at our linebackers. That's a problem with Greenlaw. I mean, I don't think we can count on him.
Did you hear what Lynch said about Campbell?
Yeah, I did.
Good against the pass. Solid against the run. He said, it was like, oh, so another guy who's – so how are you going to stop the run this year?
Right. Yeah. And I don't think Campbell's that good against the pass.
I don't think so either. That's debatable. Maybe 3 years ago he was.
Well, you know, he has to say that because he lost out on Kendricks, right.
Yeah, when he was going through his free agency, he was like, yeah, linebacker, well, we lost out on Kendricks, and we were kind of screwed, but then Campbell got cut at the last minute, and we like him. Like, yeah. Yeah. We like him a lot.
Because he's our only option.
Right.
Yeah. So, and now looking at the DBs. Now, I like what our DBs showed last year. It kind of went down the run game, I noticed, when Huff went down. But for whatever reason, they are not, again, of course, Huff's coming back from ACL. Don't know what he's going to be like. He may be even slower than he was.
Yeah.
Funny. But they seem to want to move on from him. Have you heard anything inside as to why that you can disclose?
Okay, good question. I think it probably would be financial. I think they feel that maybe Huff could get a lot of money. He was an All-Pro. And I don't think they want to spend a ton of money on a safety. They haven't. even though their general manager is John Lynch. They haven't really spent big at that position. And I think, yeah, I mean, what do you think?
Well, to me, I just find it very odd. Maybe it is money, but you got a guy who produced and could at least help out in the run game, which has been a problem lately, telling in the season. And then you've got a guy that, yeah, he made some problems in coverage, but he knows the system. And it seems like we're keeping the same system. So I don't know. I just find that
My question is, who drafted Hufanga? Who was the big advocate for him? Was it D'Amico? Was it Adam Peters? Was it someone who's not here anymore? Because now they're like, we're multiple defensive coordinators away, and maybe someone's just like, it's not my type of strong safety.
Well, I mean, but see, you can't trade him. What are you going to get from
him? Trading low, right? I mean, or maybe they're worried about his recovery from a torn ACL. Maybe they're thinking, hey, you know, he was good, but he had some limitations and he wasn't fast. And coming off of this injury, like, what's he really going to be? You know,
no, that is
maybe true. That, maybe some of that. Yeah.
See, now if it's that, that's fine. But the way that they're talking about it, they're not using that language. Hey, we have to take precautions because he's injured. He's coming back from a gruesome injury. They're not saying it like that. No. So I think you might be right. I think it is money. So
it could be money. Yeah. Cause I think when they drafted Jair Brown, it was anticipating like, we're not going to be able to afford Hufanga. We're going to extend Ayuk, but maybe not him. So we got to be prepared.
And they're very similar.
But extremely.
Let's talk about money, because I think you asked the best question at the owners meeting, and I was very disappointed with Jed York's response. And I know you and your father, Papa Cohen, went over this, but when I hear Jed and his Parag call the 80s Niners lemonade stand, and then when I hear Jed say, well, you know, my Uncle Eddie had the uncapped years, it just sounds like me, like the biggest excuse maker in the world. Yeah. Now, okay, yes, Eddie did have 1 year cap and won a Super Bowl. But let's not forget, other teams during that era had no caps either.
Right.
Let's not forget that Eddie also lost during that time.
Jed made it seem like the Niners were the only team that didn't have a salary cap. Yeah.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah.
And there were some other, I know you got other callers probably, but there's some other great teams during those years. The Green Bay Packers, obviously the Cowboys. And what is it? Are you trying to taint all the other teams that won Super Bowls during that time?
Yeah.
So what happens, Jed, now? What about all the teams that have won Super Bowls since the implementation of the cap, including the 94 Niners? Mm-hmm. Are you trying to say that you just can't do what they did?
Yeah.
Let's just be honest here. You're not built as your main goal for winning a Super Bowl. Mm-mm. I think he's built for maximizing profits.
Right.
And I wish he just would have just, you know, not given the answer that he gave, because it pretty clear, at least to me, it came pretty clear what he really wanted to do is just make profits. And he's making profits.
Yeah. He gives himself every excuse. Like, you can't expect any team to be dominant in this era. So all you can really strive for is sustainability and consistency. And we've achieved that. And the only reason we're not champions is because it's random. And eventually we will be. So we're going to act like we are.
Right. Yeah. So my next question to you, were there other reporters around when you asked that question? Because it looked like you may have caught them alone.
There were 7 of us. It was me, Matt Mayoko, Jennifer Lee Chan, Nick Wagner, Tracy Sandler, David Lombardi,
Jeez.
Eric Branch.
Okay. Did anyone else give a follow-up? Because I listened to the whole thing. Was there any follow-up questions similar to yours? Because I didn't hear that.
At the end of the session, one of them said, you know, you mentioned that you've kind of like matured a little bit. Like, Eddie wasn't like that. How do you sort of explain the difference between you two? And that's when he was like, well, you know, Eddie didn't have a salary cap and it wouldn't help us win if I broke my hand by punching a wall. And I'm so much more mature than that. Like, cool. Mm-hmm.
See, yeah. My follow-up question, and I'm not blaming you or anyone else, but I would have said, okay, so Jed, since you did say that winning a Super Bowl is your goal, what are you going to do to achieve that goal? What things are you planning to put in place to achieve that goal? I get it. You don't want to be emotional like Eddie, but Eddie being emotional achieved his goal 5 times.
That's right.
So what do you want to do? Or what are you planning to do to achieve that goal? Yeah. I'm just curious.
Are you trying to say Eddie was too emotional? Cause it worked.
Right. It
worked. Yeah. Maybe you're not emotional enough.
That's my point, you know? Yeah. So anyway, appreciate it. I don't want to keep you much more of your time, and I got to get back to work here. I like to listen in and work. But things going good with the pops?
Things going great with the pops, man. Always. Good. All right, man.
Remember that, man. I lost my father. He was only 65, and he's the reason why I'm in the football. I used to sit on his lap just watching footballs when I was a youngster. So it's good to see you and your pops still going at it and doing what you do. So really appreciate it, and really appreciate the time that you give us on the call-in shows.
Hey, can't stop. Won't stop. Are we still say that, or is that canceled too? I'm gonna need more proof. All right. I'm way too invested in Diddy's entire career to just throw him under the bus over one allegation.
Bro, you can't have the fans like all on your business like that. Like,
just can kidding. You imagine walking outside? PDD may not have done. I don't condone it.
Allegations. But can you imagine walking out there? Yeah, just allegations. Imagine though, walking out your house and you see the feds and riot gear like, hey. Whoa.
Hey, I helped make life after death, okay? That was incredible. Ready to die. That was me.
You a fool.
See you, brother.
See you, man, later.
All right, NorCal Benny, you're next. But before you say anything about the Niners, you got to help me with some sleeper picks. Is that cool? Sleeper picks. We got to, man. We got to. Let's talk sleeper picks. And we're going to do baseball because you're from NorCal. You have an opinion.
I can tell.
You going to watch the Giants today?
I don't have cable.
Okay, fair enough. Matt Chapman. Let's start with him. He had a home run last night.
He
looks pretty good so far. He's hot. You got the Giants hat on.
I do.
So you're not going to watch the game, but you're going to, you know, represent and support vicariously from where you are. I respect it. So what do you like with Matt Chapman? He's going to have a hit tonight?
Yes.
Yes? Okay, let's do more. I'm trying to just go simple stuff because I always lose. How about Soler? He stinks.
No.
No hits for Soler? Does he have any?
Yeah, he had a couple last night.
One last night.
Yeah.
Did he have one hit tonight?
Sure. I don't know, man.
You need to tell me the answer because we're going to split the winnings, me and you. We're not going to win. Help me out. How about yes on the I'm a big Soler guy. I could tell you're confident. The reason I ask you is because you're wearing a hat. Okay, one more. You're just shutting down on me. I need you
I'm
to help
waiting
me.
Waiting for questions, Grant.
How about Tatis? He had two hits last night.
He's a freak.
One more.
Yeah.
I feel like baseball, we can win these. These three guys are getting hits in this game. There's no question about it. We're going to win.
No doubts.
There's no doubts. Machado? Should we get greedy? I'm not getting greedy. I'm not going to get greedy. Three. I want to win this. Three guys to get hits in this game. Soler, Chapman, Tatis, locking it in. Trying to win my second sleeper pick. Boom, there it is.
I need to start doing parlays because I have a sports book available to me, like where I work.
Start getting on Sleeper because when you if you use promo code CONE, CONHN, you get that deposit match up to $500. I'm just throwing it out.
Plug right there. That was beautiful.
That was good, right? That was absolutely good. Okay, thank you very much, Sleeper. If I win, I'll let you guys know because I'm going to gloat. NorCal Benny G, what's on your mind?
Well, Diddy's been a bad boy for life, so.
And he did say that. He has been saying that.
He admitted it a long time ago, so we can't really be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's on my mind today? Well, happy Easter, all that good stuff. Easter weekend, whoop whoop, to all the listeners.
Whoop whoop.
Oh, I had a question. Is there a kicker we're taking in the first or second round this year?
Probably.
Would that be a stretch?
No, I think it could happen. Maybe third.
Maybe the third round?
Yeah.
But it's a comp pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we better? I don't know if we're better. I think we have more questions than we did last year. I think getting Armstead out of there is important because we need availability over 18. What was it? $26 million or something he was going to cost this year? Something crazy.
$28 million against the cap.
Yeah, that's he's not Aaron Donald.
$17 million in cash.
You can't do that.
No.
They've been looking at a lot of safeties, I think, which I'm surprised we haven't tried to bring in another veteran like we did a few years ago at Gibson, just to know that, you know, they like having a safety blanket, it seems like, with the older vet. But you lose a step when you have the older guys, obviously. But
yeah,
I don't know. Offensive line is still pretty scary. I mean, I like McKivitz. His story's good. He's been a Niner since day one, and they've, you know, developed him. But is he going to stop the premier pass rushers in key moments? Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
I mean, I'm just looking at sysdatahub.com, and he gave up 13 sacks last year. 13.
Which is, if you can do math, that's almost one a game.
I don't see how you roll with that. Can't you do better?
Yeah, you should be able to do better.
No right tackle in the league gave up more sacks than Colt McKivitz. Like,
really?
Andrew Wiley was number two. He gave up 11. How do you say you like that? I mean, nothing against McKivitz, but how is that the best you could do? McGlinchey gave up 8.
And we ran him out of town. But look how much money he got paid. It was McKivitz insane.
Got 13. I mean, I'm sorry.
McGlinchey from this year in Denver, he only gave up 8? Or when he was in
Denver. In Denver. Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting. And, you know, McKivitz, he only had 538 pass blocking snaps. The Niners don't pass.
That's why they're halfway okay with him, I think. Because think if they were a passing team, would he give up 20 plus a year if they dropped back into the top five and had the top five pass attempts?
Great. Now, I will say, according to SysDataHub.com, which I don't know who's grading this stuff. They really do like McKivitz as a run blocker, I gotta say.
Well,
which surprises me because they never run to the right.
Yeah,
but,
never.
You know?
So, I do know.
But they have him as one of the top run blocking offensive linemen in the league, which is just wow.
That's interesting. But it did seem like when they would surprise people and run to the right, they could make some yards from time to time. It just never happened.
It seemed like when they would have success running to the right was like runs that started to the left and McCaffrey would cut back.
Counters, yeah.
Yeah, when they actually like outside zone to the right, those were a lot of runs for losses.
He has such good vision. It's really been fun to watch McCaffrey play since he's been a Niner. He's really good.
I love Frank Gore,
and Frank Gore was the GOAT Niner to me, but like Christian McCaffrey's insane.
Yeah, Frank Gore was pretty great too, though.
Frank the Tank. He
couldn't do any of the receiving stuff that McCaffrey could do, but in terms of like vision and, I mean,
his center of gravity was so low, and he just kept moving.
Yeah. Did he get to those tiny little holes
and just squeeze through him? He was like what, 5'8" or something. He's
5'9", 215. Yeah, he was.
So big. I have one quick question before I let you go.
Sure.
So I have a pops who's older as well, and I've noticed that we've gotten way tighter as I've gotten older and he's gotten older. Is it the same for you and your pops, like with work?
Definitely. Absolutely. I think it's kind of how much older than you is your dad?
Dad was 38 when I was born. Yeah. So
my dad was 42.
Yeah.
As a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, you're aware of the age difference, and it feels like sometimes it's a lot. But then as you get older, he gets into his 60s, 70s. I feel like they mellow out and you're more like equals. And it's different. Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's a good stage for sure.
Yeah, it's a good stage. It's a good stage for sure. Well, good call, man.
Have a nice day.
All right, NorCal Benny G, take care. That might be the last call of the day. We got no one else here. Although I'm here for another 10 minutes if someone wants to call in. Frank was a tank. CMC is elusive. They're both great. I feel like Gore ran harder. I just can't get McCaffrey's Super Bowl performance out of my head. He was great on the first drive. He fumbled, and then I feel like he kind of was in safety first mode the rest of the game. Wasn't really scrapping and fighting for the extra yards. I think he was trying to protect the football, which is fine, but he wasn't that efficient as a running back. Like, that was going to be his coronation as an all-time great running back, and it wasn't, because he isn't. Is he? I don't think he is. As a receiver, they didn't go to him on any of the critical third downs. They went to Juwan Jennings. So how good of a receiver is he? Like, yeah, he's as good of a running back receiver can be, but he's not a go-to guy on third down. They tried to on that last third down of regulation, and he didn't get open quickly enough. How is the O-line improved? McKivitz is getting better. I'm so surprised that Sis Data Hub likes... I'm going to share the screen real quick and show you guys this. It's incredible. Share screen. Sis Data Hub. Okay. Have you ever been to this website before? It's interesting. SisDataHub.com. It's like PFF, but it's free. And you go to leaderboards, offensive linemen, run blocking, run block points earned. Like, I don't know how to calculate that or how they do it. They don't say. But McKivitz is here. Look at the Niners. Like, he has a higher grade than Trent Williams. I don't know about that. Jake Brendel, also high. Spencer Burford, surprising. Trent Williams, below Spencer Burford. I don't know. Aaron Banks. Now, do all five of these guys have high run blocking grades because they block for Christian McCaffrey? You tell me. But if we're trying to figure out reasons why the Niners like Colton McKivitz, maybe that's part of it. Now, when it comes to pass blocking, he's one of the worst. He didn't get negative points. But, yeah, let's look at the Niners where they rank in pass blocking. No one's here. No one's in the top. Okay, let's go to page two. Trent Williams. Okay. Aaron Banks, left side of the line. Jake Brendel. Okay. Spencer Burford. John Feliciano. And then Colton McKivitz. Yikes. He's down there with people such as, well, Cam Irving, Storm Norton, Mike McGlinchey. They gave him a better grade than Mike McGlinchey. That is funny. Poor Mike. Well, Anthony's going to be our last caller of the day. Anthony, how you doing?
Hey, Grant, how's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well. I just kind of hopped on right now last minute. Are we just kind of talking about how they improve still, just to be sure?
Yeah, sure. Yeah? Whatever you want to talk about.
No, I mean, like I said, when I called in during after the Super Bowl loss, to this day, I still think no matter who they get, whether they were able to bring back John Randall in his prime, whoever on the D-line, they could bring back Deion as a corner. I truly think that in these prime situations, it doesn't matter who you have. It comes down to Kyle just blowing it, unfortunately. Yeah. Getting away from what works for him. So if you ask me, did they improve? I think they did improve at stopping the run by getting a lot of bigger D tackles and maybe switching up their defensive front and their line. But they still haven't really addressed to get a lockdown corner yet on the outside, which the league is all gone to passing now. You have to have two shutdown corners at least. Look at Kansas City. They had two shutdown corners.
You can't have any weaknesses in your secondary. None.
Exactly. And yeah. I think
Nickel has to be a shutdown corner.
I sometimes think that Lynch still lives back in the 0-2 Buck era where he tries to build the defense through the D-line and just have a mediocre, you know, I'm not going to say Brock Purdy's a game manager, but just someone who makes the throws that need to be made, doesn't really throw for
transcend. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I think they improved in that aspect, the run game, but there's still some holes on that defense. I don't know if Hufanga is getting traded or what's going on with that right now going into the draft, but
you think they go defense with their first pick?
Man, you know what? I would like him to honestly go with right tackle as their first pick, but it doesn't seem like it's going to go that way. I could see them going defense, to be honest, but I could see them going with like a safety if they're not sure with Hufanga. You know, I think they would have signed someone by now as far as maybe like a Justin Simmons, but I haven't looked at their cap situation though too to see how much, you know, money they have remaining, but it's just hard to tell what they're going to do, to be honest, at this point. When you think you know what they're going to do, they do something completely different, and it's pretty mind-boggling sometimes.
Yep. Well, we'll see what they do in the draft. Seems like they think they got the team right now. We'll see if they're right.
Yeah. All right, no. Anthony. Thank you, Grant. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Take care. That's the show, guys. Thanks for everyone participating, calling in. I know it's like nothing's going on right now and there's not a lot to talk about, so I appreciate you guys digging deep and sharing your opinions and your thoughts. So I'll be back tomorrow or today. We'll see. I'm always here. Take care.